believe. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Come on, let's give God some praise. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. God is good. God is good. God is good. Praise Him. Come on, God is good. And all the time. One more time. God is good. And all the time. You know, He woke me up this morning. Clothed in my right mind. I went into the closet and picked anything I could find. When you're doing racial reconciliation, sometimes it's good to be colorblind. But when I grabbed the clothes, everything was one of a kind. You like it? It's all good, right? See my white socks? Look at this, boy. Shoot. Once you go white, you gotta walk in the light. Sometimes things are a little bright. I know you like it. Don't let it distract you from the Word of God now. Don't let it distract you. Can you imagine if we went to the grocery store this afternoon like this? Think anybody might say something to you? Or maybe they just look at you a little bit funny. Can you imagine being in middle school or high school? Maybe your clothes don't match. Maybe the clothes aren't clean. Maybe you taking a picture straight up, seriously? You better go ahead and post that thing, girl. Show them what it looked like when you hooked up. But can you imagine them being like in middle school or high school? You think they might bully you? You think they might call you names? This is when you got to remind your kids and your grandkids of that rhyme. Remember it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. But is it really true? You know, sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can sometimes really damage you. Names can hurt you. Some of you still remember names from when you were just a little child. And maybe because you didn't have the right clothes. Maybe because you didn't have the clean clothes. I remember back in my day as a kid, they used to call any shoes that weren't like brand name, Maypops. And they used to say, you remember that? You're old enough to remember Maypops. We would get the shoes that we could get at the time. But they'd make fun of you if you had holes, if you had things that didn't match. But what if we were to be like God? And instead of negative name calling, how about if we would positively name call? What would happen if we began to call people what they truly are? Kings and queens and princes and princesses, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. What would happen if we flipped the script because we know Jesus Christ? That we would not negatively name people, but that we would positively name people, that we would use our speech, come out of the shadows of negativity, and step out into the light of positivity, calling people what their destiny is, calling them not what they may look like now, not what their behavior may be now, but call them into something. Call them up to something. Well, this is what happened to me and about 17 folk in my delegation when just a few weeks ago I went to Nigeria. And there I took a delegation like 17 or 18, like I said. And when we got there, one of the first things they did was they measured our heads. They measured our bodies. And by the time we were done going through many different things, including the door of return, when we walked on the path that slaves walked, naked, chained together, in the heat, well, after walking that walk of a mile and a half or so, and having to walk it back again, we finally got on boats. And on these boats, we had royal escorts of other boats around just celebrating us like we were kings and queens. And then when we got onto the dock, we went through a door And it was not no longer the point of no return, but the door of return, where we were celebrated as kings and queens. And remember I told you how they measured? We had 18 people, 8 men, 10 women. And can I just tell you something? The last day when they put on those clothes, we didn't even know they were blessing us like this. They blessed us with custom clothing that fit every individual woman and every individual man, and they made them feel like kings and queens, and they looked so beautiful. Then they gave them new names. They gave them an African name that had a meaning to it. I don't know if you've ever been to like a baby naming ceremony for Nigerians. Well, let me tell you something. There's something special and something powerful when they were giving people a name, put it on a certificate, and each one of them stood up. If you didn't feel like a princess before you went, you walked off that continent feeling like a princess. If you didn't feel like a prince when you went in, the men came out feeling like kings and princes. In fact, why don't we just take a second? Let me give you a report or a review via video. Check out the screens.
I'm standing on the path where slaves have walked for 300 years. And now I'm walking that same path here in Badagry, where I am now with my team, my delegation. We're having an experience as we go to the door of no return. Just imagine slaves, chains around their neck, around their wrists, around their ankles, in the hot African sun, naked, feeling the burn of the chains, linked one by one, walking on this path. And now, I come back as a king, because God has made a difference in all these hundreds of years. May we never go back to slavery in any way, shape, or form. And remember that Jesus said he came to set the captives free.
Don't they look beautiful? They went. They experienced what it was like to go back to the continent where all humanity came out of. And they were not expecting, nor was I, this royal welcome. And every piece of clothing was customized for each one of them. Look how handsome and regal. Look how beautiful, how pretty, how strong, how gorgeous these sons and daughters, princes and princesses are. God says that if you are his child, you are his sons and his daughters. You are princes and princesses of the Most High God. And he's given you new names. No longer sinner, but saint. You are his child, and you need to receive who you are in Christ. Can we give these ladies and gentlemen a great big hand? Thank you so much. Beautiful. Beautiful. You can go off that way. Wow, look at that. Let me give you this, Tony. It may fall off if I preach too hard. I didn't expect either, honestly, to be conferred the chieftaincy when I was there. And it was amazing when we were going to meet with the royal king and then the governors of the state and people from the president's office, not only how they treated us with chartered flights and government boats and wonderful meals and state dinners, but it was amazing how honored they were that we would come. And one of the ladies that was here, I remember when we were debriefing, she said, they didn't forget us. And just the feeling that each person experienced. I tell you this not only because it connects to the word of God and the names that God gives us, but I tell you this because I said it before, I'll say it again. I want to take as many of you back to the continent as possible if the Lord would give us the grace to do it. Whether black, white, Asian, Hispanic, all humanity according to science and DNA takes us all the way back to the first couple that came off the continent of Africa. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding us that all of us, as princes and princesses, as children of God, if we've come into a relationship with you, need to stand up and be worthy of the very calling you've given us. Lord, help us to be reflectors of your royalty, and help us not to devolve into the negativity and the shadows of name calling and the things that are so negative in our culture. So we give this message now from this point on over to you in the name of Jesus. Together everyone said, amen and amen. Last week, the shame game. Today, the name game. Next week, the blame game. And then we end it with the complain game in our four-week series called Living in the Shadows. If negative name calling can have a negative effect on people, what do you think positive name calling can have so far as a positive effect on people? Wouldn't it be great if we began to name people and call people words like beautiful, kind, destiny, patience? Would that actually lift people toward what that name is calling them to? And of course, a lot of ethnic groups there have very interesting names, don't they? Some black folk will give their kids names such as cars and jewels and continents in a minute, like Mercedes, Diamond, Amber, Asia. I mean, the purpose oftentimes for some minorities is to lift the child up from the negative naming of their circumstances to ascribe value to them, maybe even in their poverty. But you see all kind of names nowadays, regardless of ethnicity. Some will name their children days of the week, or months of the year, or seasons of the year. I know a gal who I just saw yesterday at a restaurant. Her name is Sunday. We have a guy in this church who's grown up in this church, Dante Shepherd, one of our producers, and he married a young lady, a sweet young lady. Guess what her name is? Friday. Maybe you know someone named Autumn or Summer. Or like my mother's name, believe it or not, is Icy. Because on November 11th, which was just a week ago, 1933, so my mom just turned 85, when she was born in Mississippi, where it's normally hot, it was a cold, icy day. They looked out the window, they said it was icy, and that's her name. Icy. And then she has a sister by the name of Birdie. Guess we can figure out what happened there. I've got my mother-in-law, Amber's mother. Her name is June. I know another lady. Her name is May. I have a friend. He named his son August. And if you put a jewel and a day together, you'll even get a restaurant called Ruby Tuesdays. I mean, you just never know what a name can bring. But, you know, names are important for covering and for inspiring and for claiming one's hopes and one's desires, maybe even one's prayers. And Jesus gives us a powerful teaching about naming. He gives us the power to use his name with his authority on the earth. In addition to that, though, not only do we have the authority of Jesus' name on the earth, but he actually warns us about giving negative names to people. In fact, his first big sermon talks about it. But God wants to make it clear that we are not supposed to curse people. We're not supposed to use our tongues to be a curse, but to be a blessing. In 1 Peter 3:9, it actually says, this is what God says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit blessing." To this you were called. So it's not natural. It's a spiritual calling, not to repay evil for evil, but then it says, if you do it, we do it so that you may inherit blessing. This means God is saying, you're not going to pay them back for what they did to you. This means God will, listen, pay you back with blessing if you don't pay them back with a curse. Amen. Let me say it again, because that's a tweet. Amen. God will pay you back with a blessing if you don't pay them back with a curse. That's what that word says. And then on the greatest sermon he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, verse 22, I want you to hear what Jesus actually says in this sermon. He says, don't call anyone Raca, R-A-C-A, which basically means don't insult people. Again, anyone, this is what it says in Matthew 5, 22b. Let me quote it now. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Raca was an insulting word that meant empty-headed, stupid, fool. Have you ever called anyone empty-headed, stupid, or a fool? And do you know the context in which the Lord gives this exhortation not to call anyone Raca or estúpido? Believe it or not, the context is this. Jesus is talking about murder. Wow. Listen to the whole context, Matthew 5, verses 21 through 22. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. When you say Raca with that contempt in your voice, and you call someone a fool or stupid with that anger behind it, not something funny like, you're so stupid, not that, but you really mean it. You really mean that someone is stupid, someone is a fool. You're really wanting to insult them and injure them and make sure that your words pierce right to their very heart. When you do that, whatever the word is that's insulting and cutting, the modern day Raca of your spirit, the context of this is Jesus is saying, that's murder. You kill people with your words. Any murderers in the house? You have heard it said, do not murder, but I say to you, anyone is angry with his brother. We're not talking about righteous or holy anger here. We're talking about sinful anger. That same anger that Ephesians 4 warns us about in verse 26, where it says, in your anger, do not sin. Because sinful anger is likened to murder when we evaluate it at a Jesus level. Jesus is saying that when you have sinful anger, you can launch negative name calling, and you can launch words that are hurtful and harmful, reckless and damaging. And when you call people names, it's a holy offense. Let me say it again. Negative name calling is a holy offense. This is not simply a elementary or middle school lesson here. This is a biblical master's level lesson from the master himself. That when I use my words to insult people and negatively name call them, it is a holy offense to God, likened to murder. See, acting foolish is one thing, but calling someone a fool is different. The principle is that if you insult people or insult groups, you're not being consistent with what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You may be consistent with a movement that's angry. You may be consistent with politics. You may be consistent with culture, but you're not consistent with being a follower of Jesus Christ. Choose this day who your king is. Choose this day who you will serve. Because if you and I are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we have to be like Jesus, who never gave negative names and labels to anyone, except maybe, if you want to argue it, the religious leaders of the day, who were perfect at giving names to people out of their hypocrisy. But Jesus never called names to the least of these, or anyone who was a sinner or in need. In fact, it was the exact reverse. He covered the sinner. Remember, I will cover you. One of the seven sayings of a gracious. He would cover the sinner. He'd cover the downtrodden. He'd cover the prisoner, the hungry, the powerless. So based on Jesus's example, based on the authority of Scripture, and based on my own study, I want to give you some rules of speech, some do's and don'ts. A couple of don'ts and a few do's to make the message practical, so we just don't feel bad about, okay, I said something wrong, which we can feel bad about, and then we should go and get it right, okay? And we can't live in shame and guilt because of the way we talked in the past. That's in the past. I'm talking about right now, going forward. What can we do? What are some rules that will help us in our relationships at work, in our friendships, in our relationships with our family members, maybe even a marriage? Let me give you some rules, some do's and some don'ts. We'll start with the first couple don'ts, and we'll end with the last few do's. Are you ready? Five of them. Number one, don't call people or groups negative names. Now, doesn't that sound so elementary? But we got to go back to the basics. Jesus said, it's likened to murder. Don't call people or groups negative names. We are not allowed as believers to call negative names to people. Even if we think it, we got to check it. We're not allowed to call groups negative names. Even if we think it, we got to check it. Practically, we must delete negative name calling from our speech. Why? Because Jesus tells us we're not allowed to do it. If you call someone Raka, an insulting name that's empowered and fueled by the sinful anger, he likens it to murder. He says, but I say to you, he's saying, if you're going to follow me, not just the law, if you're going to follow me, then I want to take it to another level. Not golden rule, we're going platinum. Not saying it's easy, but these are the rules we ought to be living by. We ought to just keep these rules in our phone or keep them on a card somewhere. Remind us when we're sane, because when we get insane and we get crazy, all the rules go out the door. Amen? So this is supposed to help you when you need it most. Write it inside your Bible. Do what it takes to say, you know, here's some rules I'm going to govern my relationship with other people by. My coworkers, my spouse, my children, my parents. Don't call people or groups negative names. Here's the second one. It's the second one. It's a don't. You ready? Don't give yourself negative names. Don't give yourself negative names. If you do negative things, don't give yourself a negative name to compound it as if your behavior defines you. I know somebody who had fallen into a sexual sin many, many years ago, and he continued to call himself the negative name even though he wasn't engaged in that behavior anymore. And I had to say to him, that is not your name, and that is not who you are. That's what you did. But what the enemy wants to do is to make us think what we did is who we are. And then we can never change who you are. But you can change what you do. And so if he can get you to think that this is who you are, not this is what you did, then he can make an identity. And once it's an identity, it's hard to break. Because we can't change who we are. So don't give yourself negative names. Stop calling yourself. I don't know who I'm talking to here, okay? It's a big crowd. So stop calling yourself stupid, ugly, dumb. You don't even need to call yourself fat. Just say, I'm in shape. Because round is a shape, amen? I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to learn how to encourage yourself. I'm in shape. Round is a shape. I may change shapes later depending on how the inches go, but right now, I'm in shape. Speak words of life to yourself. The tongue has the power of life and death. Speak God's truth about you. Say, I am loved, forgiven, redeemed, chosen, fruitful, worthy, valued, a prince, a princess. Do you think any of those women that walked out here or any of those dudes that walked out here sheepishly? I'm going to tell you something. Even when they put on the clothes, they felt different. Sometimes you even have to dress yourself different than your attitude. Anybody want to stay in sweats all day? Stay in a t-shirt all day? Not take a shower, not shave because you feel so down? You can do it for a day, but when it's 3 days, now you know you have an issue. You need to get up, shower, shave, whether you have anywhere to go or not, put on your best clothes and be the best looking person at the Starbucks. But do not stay in the house in the dark with the shades down, allowing the enemy to get you in a corner when you're in a fetal position and you don't even know if you want to live anymore. Don't give yourself negative names and talk to yourself negatively. You've got to remind yourself of God's truth, that you're loved and forgiven and redeemed and chosen and fruitful and worthy and valuable. Whether I have a job or not, I always have a ministry because he called me to be an ambassador of reconciliation. Hey, what do you do for a living? I'm an ambassador. of reconciliation as though God were making his appeal through me. Oh, you're talking about my employment. We're still working on that. But my ministry, my job, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is I am an ambassador of reconciliation. God has given me a message and a ministry. We define ourselves by what we do and by the jobs that we have. Jobs will come and go. Careers, listen, some careers aren't even in vogue anymore because they've been taken over by technology. And if some people are in school right now studying for jobs that have never even been created yet, technology that's never even been created yet, so you can't even lean on your education except to know I'm learning how to think. I'm learning how to study. I'm learning how to be disciplined. I'm learning how to be thoughtful. I'm learning how to be a critical thinker, because those are the skills that will take me through any career, regardless of what's available and what's not available 20 years from now or 30 years from now. I've got curiosity. I'm a learner. I can't lean on an old degree because that money was gone a long time ago. I need to make new money, and so I make new money. I need to have new learning, new networks, new connections. But I can't do that if I'm always telling myself, you're nobody. You don't have a degree. Well, listen, some of y'all got a master's degree from the University of Life, which is a whole lot better than some people who have an academic degree and they can barely hold a conversation. Stop telling yourself you're dumb and stupid. That's not coming from God. That's coming from the enemy. So those are your two don'ts. Did you get them? Now, how about our three do's? Do number one, delete the phrase "those people" from your vocabulary. Amen? I'm trying to help you. If we're going to build bridges of reconciliation, we need to know what words to delete, what phrases to get rid of. You people, those people, practically, let's delete the phrase "those people" from our vocabulary when saying anything about another group that is negative or hurtful. If you want to talk about another group and something is negative or hurtful, you don't say "those people." Substitute it with "some of," or "in my experience." Very basic, very practical message here. But this is going to help you. "Some of," "in my experience." As soon as you start with "those people" or "they," and you plan to follow it up with negative language, you are entering a danger zone of what Jesus calls the fires of hell. When the tongue is on fire and it's untamed, it will speak hellishly in ways that are hurtful, harmful, and don't care about anybody else around it. "They are rapists and criminals. The white man is the devil. Black people are lazy. Millennials are entitled. Gays are this or that." The list goes on. Remember, here's the rule. If it's negative, then use the term "some," or "in my experience," "some gays, some blacks, some whites, Asians, Hispanics, some Arabs, some millennials," or "in my experience, I have found that some black women seem angry to me. In my experience, I have found that some white men have a problem supporting black leadership." So you still want to be able to have the conversation, but you got to make sure that you don't step on landmines because you didn't know what phrases to delete, so I'm helping you out. Do delete the phrase "those people" from your vocabulary. Let me give you a fourth one. Do depend on the name of Jesus as your strong tower. This one's spiritual, but it's so important to our spirit to remember that Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Depend on the name of Jesus as your strong tower. That means your strength and your safety is connected to the name of Jesus. That the name of the Lord is a tower of strength when the rest of the world around you is falling apart. It means that the name of the Lord is a place of safety when the rest of the world seems like it's a place of danger. If you are a follower of Jesus, you can literally lean on and call on the powerful name of Jesus. But it's by faith. That's why I said depend on the name of the Lord as a strong tower, because this is something by faith. It doesn't just happen. When you name the name of Jesus, you've got to believe that there's power in the name. And if you believe that there's power in the name, then the authority of that name, you will walk in it because you'll understand that he has given you the strength and the safety to walk in that name. Depend on the name of Jesus as your strong tower. I'm going to go to the fifth one, but let me review the first four to make sure you get it. Don't call people or groups negative names. Number two, don't give yourself negative names. Number three, delete the phrase "those people" from your vocabulary. And number four, by faith, depend on the name of Jesus as your strong tower. Here's the fifth and final do. Third do, but the fifth of the do's and the don'ts. Designate a personal name for your God. Designate a personal name for your God. God has many names. Give God a name based on how you know him. Pastor Dan, over 15 years ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, Pastor, but we did that series together on weapons, and the N in the word weapons was names of God, and I had Pastor Dan preach it. No one teaches the word like Pastor Dan. It's very, very unique, and he's always touched my heart whenever he teaches, that's for sure. Wonderful teachers at Bridgeway, but he's so unique. He's probably one of the only pastors that will probably call you a moron even as he's preaching, and somehow you feel okay about it because you know he loves you. It's not Raka with any anger behind it. It's for some reason when you receive it, you just feel like it's a fact. You know? I love this guy. And so he was teaching us about the names of God, and he said, what is your name for God? And I never really thought that I could name God. At dinner last night, I was sharing with one person that was with us that I know God. She says, you know, you're going to have to preach tomorrow. I said, I sure do. I know God is the sermon giver. I named him that day. You know, God's been giving me sermons since I was age 20. It's been over 30 years. And he has never failed me yet. He's anointed me and has spoken through me when I didn't even deserve to be standing here. He's been a sermon giver when I didn't even have a sermon to give. He has changed sermons when I sat there and the elders would pray for me and I'd sit there and the Lord would be like, yeah, the message that you wrote, that's not the one I'm going to give. Yeah, I'd come up and I'd give a word. There are times I've been in meetings and I would give a word. We're in Nairobi, Kenya just a couple of weeks ago after leaving Nigeria. A group of them came back home and I went and met another group of some of our team members in Kenya. I remember Pastor Jared and Dante Shepherd took me with the church that we're partnering there, Nairobi Chapel, and took me to their prison. And they asked me to preach to the prisoners. It was 150 prisoners. And I remember feeling the power of the Holy Spirit when I was preaching. To such a degree, I was walking up and down among the prisoners. And one day I'll preach that message here, the difference between being in prison and being imprisoned. But when the Spirit of God hit me, I just gave a call for salvation. And out of 150 men in the stripes and in their clothing, 146 stood up to receive the Lord as their Lord and Savior. Our wonderful partnering church there says we disciple everyone. We have 15 disciplers and we disciple them one by one. And right then and right there, he says, we've got to change our discipleship program now. So everyone's going to get 10. And he said, we've never had this many people get saved. Our highest number since we started this in 2012 was 35 people. And I realized that this was something that God was doing because he has always showed me that he is the sermon giver. I don't know what you name your God. It doesn't mean I don't know him other ways, but I just know him that way because that's how I named him that day. It's like in Genesis 16 when that gal Hagar was out in the desert as a single mom kicked out of the house of Sarah. And as you see, a single mom out in the desert, God meets her there. God sees her there. God lets her know that she's not alone, even though her circumstances have evicted her from the home and she's somewhere out in the desert. God met her in that lonely place, and she names God in Genesis 16. You ought to see it. Go in there and read it sometime. Here's the name, Elroy. Right there, that's how you know God's black, right? Elroy. I'm just saying. Anybody named God Elroy? Maybe she was black. I don't know. Saying Leroy, Elroy. But anyway, Elroy means the God who sees. So think about a single woman kicked out of a home in a desert. God meets her there, and she names him the God who sees. God sees. What's your name for God? You have one? Have you named God? We already know his name's Jehovah. We already know his name's the great I am. We already know so many names that the scriptures. I'm talking about you. What is your name? How do you know him? That makes it so personal, doesn't it? It doesn't make him everybody else's God, which is fine if he is. It makes him my God. Like, this is how he shows up for me. Praise God how he shows up for you. Praise God for how you know him. But I know him like this. How do you relate to him based on that name? Give God a name. If he's your deliverer, then you trust him to deliver you again. If you know him as your provider, then you'll trust him to provide for you again. If you know him as your way maker, then you'll trust him to make a way again. If you know him as your doctor, then you'll trust him to heal you again. If you know him as your lawyer, then you'll trust him to defend you again when the accusers of the brethren come your way. If you are lonely, but you've known him as a husband, then he will show up to be your companion in the loneliest moments of your life. How do you know him? Because when it's all said and done, there's one name that is above all names. There is one name that causes demons to flee. There is one name that can heal the sick and raise the dead. There is one name that can make the winds and the waves obey. There is one name that can restore a marriage, break bondages, multiply financial blessings into overflow. There's only one name I know where men can be saved. There is no other name that's more precious. No other name that's more powerful. No other name that has the blood connected to it that can cleanse me of my sins except the name of Jesus. 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 Anyone know the name of the Lord Jesus? One day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that his name is a strong tower and those that run to it are safe. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his name? It says in Psalm 25, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Forgive me not because of me, but because of your name. Because your name can cover and cleanse me more than anybody else can. Or the way we used to say it growing up, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. Do you know the next line? The sweetest name on earth, singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of the Savior. yours love, who died to set me free. It tells of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Singing. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Jesus first loved you. And there's a name that is more powerful than any name. And if you're under the sound of my voice, whether here in this auditorium or watching online or however you're listening, it's the only name that can cover you and save you from the enemy's snare. Bow your heads with me. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, never invited him to come into your life to be your Savior, if you're depending on any other name to save you from a burning hell or to get you into a beautiful heaven, if it's not the name of Jesus, you won't make it. So if you want to invite Jesus into your life right now, pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me for my sins. I'm so sorry for my sinful life. And I ask you to wash all my sins away. Make me a follower of yours in a way that I understand. Take my best intentions in this prayer and turn it into a reality that makes me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, the scripture says that your whole life has just changed right before your eyes, that you no longer live as a non-believer or someone that is a child of the dark side. You have been born into a family of God, and all of heaven celebrates when that happens. So if you did pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now, I can't see everybody online, but just wave your hand so I can see you, just so we can celebrate you. Did anyone pray that prayer to receive Christ? I'll wave back to you wherever you are. I'll wave back to you. Anybody over here? Anybody over here? Anybody up there? Anybody over there? Make sure that you write us online. Let us know exactly where you are, and we'll send you information to help you grow. Two other things, and then I'm going to invite the altar prayer team to come up. One is, they may have already said it, but let me reiterate it. If you don't have food, or you just kind of are in a tough situation with Thanksgiving and all, and the money's getting kind of funny, let us load you up with free groceries today. Just drive around the building, there's a red awning, and we'll load you up with free groceries. That's a gift from the church and the generosity of the church, okay? And I'd also say that if you are extra blessed and you have extra money, be a blessing to the church, because we'll turn it around and bless other people. Our offerings are a little bit low these days, so I'm just telling you, we're not stopping being generous. But if you've been holding on some extra cash, this would be the time to say, you know, let me click online to give a little bit more, because I want to make sure our church remains as generous as possible. So I speak that out to you. And then lastly, what I want to say is, there's a part in the message that may have touched your heart. Not everybody, but God was like specifically speaking to you about something very specific. If that's true, I want to cover that with a sealing prayer, because I'm afraid, what I'm receiving right now, I'm afraid, in quotes, that the enemy was going to try to steal that very thing that God was speaking to you. So I want to pray a sealing over it, and then I'll just dismiss everybody with a benediction. But if that's you, something very specific God said to you, would you stand to your feet right now and let me seal this in prayer so that the enemy doesn't take it away? Very specific. Anybody else? Try to remember what it was. Let it sink down into your spirit. The enemy will come away and try to take it away. But God promised in his word that when he sends his word, it will accomplish exactly what it was purposed to do. and it will not return to him void. So if you want that word to work its purpose in your life, then make sure you stand to your feet, because I'm going to pray that this is sealed in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody else? Going once. Going twice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your children that are standing in the assembly of the brethren and sistern right now are saying they've heard your word in a very specific way, and they want that word to sink in. They want that word to affect their life. They openly receive that word that they received by faith. And whatever you want that word to do in their life, even today, even this week, Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus and with the authority that you've given me as your man of the hour, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would cover this word, that you would protect the seed of it, and that it would grow up to be fruitful in the life of your children who are standing by faith. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Together, everyone said, amen and amen. Come on, let's all stand together. Let the altar prayer team come down and let me dismiss you in the presence of the Lord. Are you ready? You ready to receive a blessing? Here it comes. I now bless you, and I pray the favor of God upon you. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may the power of God affect its way in your life and in your family, and may the name of God be your safety and your strength this week. I speak this over you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. God bless you.